This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. How many of you would have to say that in order for you to have abundant life in some area of your life, you need to have some different results from what you already have been getting? Anybody want to testify to that? Amen. If you don't need different results, you can just turn your hearing aid off. We need to get some different results in some areas of our lives. I will tell you, I know this is going to shock some of you, but I am not perfect. I know, it's shocking. Yeah. All you have to do is ask Priscilla. I am not perfect. There are some areas in my life where I want to get some different results from what I've been getting up till now. And what we want to talk about today is a very fundamental principle. I mean, it's a simple principle. It's something, as I said, that you already know about, but I want us just to focus on it today. Here's the deal. If you want things to be different in your life from the way they have been, you have got to change. Now, isn't that a simple principle? Common sense, you would say. But you know, we miss it so much of the time. If we are going to have different results in our lives, something's got to change in us. Go look at the passage that we read this morning, Haggai chapter 1. In Haggai, the people of Israel had been dispossessed from the land. They had been scattered because of their sin against God. And some of them now had come back into Israel, into the promised land. And God had said, I want you to build my temple. And yet, at this point, they had done everything but build the house of God. They had spent their time and energy and effort taking care of what they considered to be their own business. And so God says, hey, you've got your own houses built. You've got nice paneled wood houses, but you've neglected the house of the Lord. And in verses 5 through 7 of Haggai chapter 1, the Lord is speaking to them, telling them about what the consequences, the results of their inattention to the house of God was going to be. Haggai 1, starting with verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now look at what God is saying to his people. He's saying, you have seen things not going the way you wanted them to go in your life. The results that you have been getting are not the results that you have desired. And when that happens in our lives, you know what we sometimes say? Man, any of you remember... Let's have confession time here. Any of you ever used to watch Hee Haw? All right. Amen. Then you will identify with this. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Isn't that right? That's what they said. Y'all remember that? That's the way we tend to think sometimes, isn't it? My luck has just been so bad. Things haven't been happening. It's not my fault. So-and-so. My wife, my husband, my parents, my kids, whoever it is, if they would just get their act together and act right, then my life would be so much better. If my boss would just treat me the way he's supposed to treat me, my life would be on track. But look at what God said to his people. He didn't say, consider Joe's ways. Consider Susan's ways. Consider your boss's ways. Consider your wife's ways. What did he say? Consider your ways. consider your ways. God says, all of these things have been happening in your life. All of these things that you wanted to be better, they haven't turned out the way you want them to turn out. You need to consider your ways. Let me tell you something. If you are anything like me, and I suspect you are, there are some areas of your life that if you want to see a difference, you need to consider your ways. You need to consider your ways. Look at what God said to these people. He said, look, in verse 6, you have so much, but bring in little. You ever feel that way? I put so much into it, and I don't seem to be getting anything back. Consider your ways. You see, when things are not lining up in your life in a godly way, when the results you're getting in life are not godly results, that is an indication to you that something is off track. And God is saying you need to consider your ways. Go over to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This is a principle. This is a law that cannot be violated. How many of you think you can violate the law of gravity? Anybody believe that? Now, I can take you up to the top of this building and we'll find out if you can successfully violate the law of gravity. All you got to do is jump off. Amen? No. See, the law of gravity is never broken. If you try to violate the law of gravity, what will happen? You will simply reap the consequences of that law. In the same way, this law of sowing and reaping is a law that cannot be broken. God says you will reap what you sow. Understand, if the results that you are getting in life are not godly results in your life, then something is off track. God's word to you is consider your ways. What's he saying? You're reaping what you sow. You reap what you sow. Amen? If you want to change what you reap, guess what? Better change what you sow. Not this past summer, but the summer before, Priscilla did a garden. A lot of work. I mean, for me. She did most of the work. And we had tomatoes out there, and we had beans out there, all kinds of good stuff. Now, me, one thing I found out when I was a kid is if you plant popcorn, it'll grow up. And I love popcorn. But I didn't plant any popcorn that year. So guess what? I didn't have any popcorn. I'm from the South. I love watermelon. Amen. I didn't plant any watermelon seeds. And no watermelon came up. What was the deal? What I sowed was what I reaped. Now, in this case, we had a groundhog or something else that thought it was his garden, too. So actually, I didn't actually reap everything we sowed. But the point is, if you want to reap, you've got to sow according to what you want to reap. And what God is telling us is, consider your ways. Look at your life. If the results are not what they should be, if they are not godly results, you need to look at what you're sowing. What are you sowing in your life? If you want to reap, you've got to sow according to what you want to reap. And what God is telling us is, consider your ways. Look at your life. If the results are not what they should be, if they are not godly results, you need to look at what you're sowing. What are you sowing in your life? Now, that's not to say that every problem in your life is caused by some kind of sin. Sometimes circumstances are simply against you at that particular point in time. Any of you ever been in an automobile accident that you didn't cause? Amen. I remember one time, I used to own a 1972 Ford Pinto. Little car, if you remember those things. And I remember driving up to the stoplight It was in Boulder, Colorado. And I rolled up to the light, stopped, and I just happened to look in my rearview mirror. And I saw this pickup truck coming straight up behind me. And when I looked up, I realized there is no way he can stop. And the hard part is, I realized that, and there wasn't a thing in the world I could do about it. All I could do was sit there and wait for him to hit me, which he proceeded to do. Drunk driver. So that was a circumstance that was not something that I caused. It was a circumstance that happened to me. Do you know that in this life, circumstances will happen to you? We've talked about the fact that we live in a fallen world. We live in a creation that was corrupted by sin. And because creation was corrupted by sin, there will be circumstances beyond your control that are going to happen in your life. God never promised that we would be immune to that. So I can't control all of the circumstances. But you know what I can control? I can control how I react. Isn't that right? I can control how I react. I mean, when that guy comes up and hits me with his truck, and me in a Ford Pinto, of all things, I can get out of my car and go up to his face and pour out every curse word I know. If I want to, can I? Of course, I don't know very many, but some of you can really do a good job with that. You see, the test is not what happens to you. The test is how you react to it. When that test comes, that's sowing time. That's sowing time. Amen? And sometime down the road, you're going to reap a harvest based on what you sowed in that circumstance. So God is saying, we need to start considering our ways. Go over to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Look at this. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. Do you see it? God is saying, if what you are experiencing in your life is the curse rather than the blessing, you need to consider your ways. That curse does not come without cause. There is something being sown in your life that is off track that allows that curse to be happening in your life. It's not the circumstances. Circumstances may be good, circumstances may be bad, but the curse is not the circumstance. It's how you respond to it. Consider your ways. Oh, nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody that cares whether I live or die. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. If nobody likes you, guess what? You need to consider your ways. Amen. It's not that they don't like you because you just happen to be born under the wrong sign. No, there is something in your ways that's causing that reaction to take place. Consider your ways. And you know what the devil is always doing? He's always coming up beside us saying, hey, I got a way. And this way will get you there much sooner than God's way. Any of you ever try shortcuts? Come on, men, I know. You know what another word for a shortcut is? Long way around. Isn't that right? The devil will come and say, I got a shortcut for you. Yeah, you don't need to go to school and spend all that time studying and trying to get a job. Hey, come on, go out on the corner with me. I'll show you how you can sell some stuff that'll get you the money you want right now. See, the devil will give you a shortcut. Look at Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 14. Story we call the story of the prodigal son. This young man came to his dad one day and said, Father, I want what's mine. Tired of hanging around here. Get out on the town. Have me some fun in life. Any of you remember how stupid you were when you were a teenager? That's what this young man was like. Amen. I want my way. I want to do it my way. So he got it. His father gave it to him. He went out on the town. And it says he spent everything he had in loose living. Got a bunch of folks around him that he thought were his friends. Spent everything he had on him. And as soon as the money was gone, what happened? Oh, do I know you? No. And look at what happened to him. Start in verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, what I want you to see is this. This young man was not getting results in his life, not the kind of results that he wanted. Here was a Jewish young man who was reduced to the level of tending pigs. You understand how bad that was in the context of his life? Tending pigs. He says, I'm not getting the results. Now, what could he have said? What we do sometimes. As much as I spend on those friends of mine, they ought to come and help me out. Where are they? How come they're not here? Oh, man, I don't know why. They're no good. In other words, he could have spent all his time grumbling and complaining about what people were not doing. Any of us ever spend any time grumbling and complaining about what people are not doing? Even when it's true, they should be doing it, but what does that help? Amen? You grumbling and complaining about what they should do, they're going on about their way, not even thinking about you. Amen? Instead of grumbling and complaining about what his so-called friends didn't do, what did the young man say? It says he came to himself, and when he came to himself, he said, I will arise. What was he saying? I'm not getting the results that I want in my life. Something's got to change. I can't lie here in this pigsty waiting for somebody else to change the situation. I will arise. I'm going to get up from where I am, change something in my life, and see my situation change. He said, I'm going to have to go back to my father, admit to my wrong, put myself at his mercy, say, Father, I won't even ask to be treated as your son anymore. Just treat me like one of your servants. You see, he had to change his own attitude. Amen? His own attitude had to change. That was the key to changing his situation. He could have stayed in that pigsty for 50 years. Grumbling about what people had done to him, how they didn't treat him right. And nothing would have changed in his life. It was only when he said, I will arise. I'm going to do something about me. I'm going to change my attitude. Become more of the person that I know I need to be. And as he made that kind of a commitment, his circumstance changed. God says, consider your ways. When I was studying physics, there's something called the law of inertia. Law of inertia says that objects at rest tend to remain at rest unless they are acted on by some outside force. But what the word is telling us is, if I want different results, I've got to change. Let me give you a principle. That's a fundamental principle that you need to remember. It is the height of stupidity to keep on doing what you've always done and expect something different to result. It is the height of stupidity to just keep on doing what you've always done and somehow expect that you're going to get different results. You want to see a change in your life? You're going to have to overcome the law of inertia and start making changes in yourself. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Let's talk about how we do that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, we talk about this verse often. It says, work out your salvation. Not work for, work out. You're saved. This ought to be the result of your salvation. Work out your own salvation. Who has the initiative in this process? You do. You work out your salvation. And when you do that, what does it say? If you take that initiative, then God will be working with you both to will and do of His good pleasure. But if you never take step one in order to change your situation, there is no promise in the Word that God will take that step for you. There are certain things that God will do because we can't do it. Anybody here know how to save yourself? Don't raise your hand, please. I don't want to have to stop in the middle of the sermon and go back over Christianity 101. No, no. No, you can't save yourself. Jesus had to come. He had to die. Amen? God did that for us because there is no possible way that we could do that for ourselves. But catch this. There are things that God has appointed for us to do. And what He has appointed for us to do, He will not do for us. If we will not take the initiative to take a step to change areas of our lives that are not bringing good results, God says, I'm not going to do that for you. Not going to do it. But look at what else He says here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. What does that say? You can mess it up. You better be careful about how you do this. Amen. With fear and trembling. What does that say? You can't just kind of hop, skip, and jump, and, you know, wherever you land is where you land. No, no, no. You gotta consider this thing. Consider your ways. Think it through. Understand the situation. What changes really need to be made in your life? Here's something that I hear so much of the time. Something happening in somebody's life, and they will come and they will explain to me why it's everybody else's fault that they know but theirs. If so-and-so would only do this. Oh, if they wouldn't have the attitude they have. I don't know what their problem is, but as soon as they get straightened out, I'm going to be all right. Guess what? That will not change the results you get in life. Amen? How many of you have ever changed somebody else? You grumbled and complained enough that they changed the way you wanted them to change. Anybody have the secret to that? If you do, please come up. I will yield the podium to you. Tell us how you did it. No, no, no. Uh-uh. If you want to see change, you have to stop and carefully consider what's going on in this situation that is causing the results that are ungodly results to appear in my life. I mean, if every time you say a certain thing to your wife or your husband, they blow up in anger. Maybe you ought to consider not saying that anymore. Amen? I mean, if it has to be stated, maybe you can state it a different way. But you need to stop and consider. Instead of just flying off with the way you happen to feel at the moment, God says, stop. You got to do this carefully, with fear and trembling. You can't just go with the flow of how you feel. Here's the bottom line on that. Look at Proverbs 21:5. If you're going to see change take place in your life, it's going to be because you have carefully considered what needs to be done. And you have implemented a plan. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Do you catch it? The plans of the diligent, who are the diligent? The people who carefully consider, work it out, think it through, pray it through, so that they gain an understanding from God's perspective of what the real issues in their lives are. So much of the time, we don't understand what the real issues are. I think the issue is nobody treats me right. The real issue is I don't treat anybody else right. So naturally, they don't treat me right. But if I don't stop and carefully consider, I'll never see what the real issue is. It says the plans of the diligent surely lead to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, those of the person who just kind of reacts to the situation, the one who doesn't stop to carefully consider, the plans of everyone who is hasty surely lead to poverty. If you want to see the results you're getting in your life change, you need to have a plan. Those of you who are around me for any length of time and you mess up, because you will, amen. Now, the thing is, I mess up too. But when I see you mess up, for example, when you come late to a meeting that you're supposed to be to, and I'll ask you, now, what was the reason? What happened? And you explain it to me, oh, yeah, you know, the wife, she didn't get up, put it on her. Adam, put it on her. Put it on Eve. Oh, those children. Oh, man, you know, I got them dressed, and they ran outside and got themselves all dirty again, just as we were getting ready to go. Or there wasn't any gas in the car, and I had to stop and go down to the gas station and get gas. That's why I couldn't get there on time. Or Susie called me on the phone, and she just wouldn't get off the phone. I had to spend a half hour talking with her on the phone, and that's what made me late. And being the nice pastor that I am, I'll say, okay, I understand that situation. What is your plan for making sure that that will not happen again? That's what I ask you. What is your plan for making sure that will not happen again? See, it's not enough to just moan about what happened. One of the things we've talked about before, and believe me, will again, is excuses. Amen? How many of you have had your lives better by making good excuses? Well, sometimes we did get over in situations. Amen? But excuses do not lead you to develop spiritually. So instead of making excuses, what do we need to be making? Plans. If I didn't have gas in the car and I had to go by the gas station before I could come to church, what kind of plan might I make? Check the gas gauge Saturday night. Amen. If Susie called up just as I was leaving for church and kept me on the phone for a half hour, what kind of plan might I make? See, the deal is, you can't just spend your time complaining about what's not going right or just allowing the law of inertia to keep you sitting there saying, well, that's just the way it is. If you want to see a change in your results, you're going to have to make a plan about how to change your life. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty.